You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
And Laura, it is great to talk to you. How are you today?
I'm good, although I have to say, I would like it a little bit better if it was last week and I was looking at you face to face. That was pretty fun.
Oh, yes, that was a great visit. For our listeners, Laura and her children were with us for about 9 or 10 days last week and the week before. Beautiful autumn in North Carolina. We went to Grandfather Mountain and saw it, and just a wonderful time. We missed you guys like crazy, Laura.
I know. Well, and I think one of my very favorite memories, I'll keep this brief.
Yeah.
But so one of the kids had been desperately wanting to go to McDonald's. So Papa finally said we could go to McDonald's, and the dining room was closed. So we ate out in the grass of the parking lot. Oh, with all the kids just out in the grass on the parking lot. And that was definitely one of my memories I will remember forever. So that was a lot of fun.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. It's just, you know, at my age, you never go to McDonald's unless you're with grandchildren. But it is, it was fun being with them.
It was, totally. Okay, so Dad, why don't we move straight into it? We have some really great guests today. So can you tell us the topic and introduce our special guests?
Oh, man, I am excited about the podcast today, especially the people we have on with us. It may sound kind of like a downer title, though. The title is Assessing and Ending Mentoring Relationships, and that kind of sounds, ugh. But, you know, all good things come to an end, and a mentoring relationship is good for a certain period, and hopefully thereafter the mentor and mentee will be friends. But the time for a mentoring relationship will come to an end. And so we have two of my dear friends and co-laborers in Leadership Edge. They're great volunteers with Leadership Edge in San Francisco who are with us today. They are seasoned mentors and, again, dear friends. We have with us Josh Weichs and Evan Schindelwolf. And so, Josh and Evan, I was going to get you to just introduce yourselves to us. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your faith, your family, your career. And Josh, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, no, thanks, John and Laura. It's great to be here with you guys today. Just a little bit about myself. So I live in San Francisco. I actually have called San Francisco a home for the past 14 years. I moved around a little bit over the span of my life, spent some time on the East Coast, and actually originally from Colorado. I work for Deloitte. I'm a managing director with Deloitte. It's a large, you know, public accounting and consulting firm. I've been with them for my entire career, and I work in a group that kind of helps advise clients around mergers and acquisitions. You know, I'm married to my wonderful wife, Lavinia. We actually just celebrated last weekend our 6-year wedding anniversary,
and
so that was great.
It was pretty exciting. And you know, I'm sure we'll get a little bit more into just kind of my involvement with LEI, but, you know, from a faith perspective, you know, I've called myself a Christian for all my life. You know, my walk with Jesus and my faith is something that's very near and dear to me, and I'm excited to have this conversation with you guys today about my experiences with mentoring.
Awesome. Great. Thank you, Josh. And now, Evan, would you tell us a little bit about who you are?
Sure. Well, like Josh, I'm also very happy to be here with you all. So I grew up in southern New Jersey in a Christian household, Christian parents. I have a few siblings as well. Fortunately, I'm close with all of them. Faith's always been an important part of our family's culture. And over the years, you know, I've been a part of many churches, faith communities, and small groups and the like. And then regarding work, I spent a couple years in New York City. In the last 7 years in San Francisco, I have several years finance experience, both in investment banking and in private equity. And currently, I now work in business operations and strategy in the tech world for Yelp, the reviews platform.
Awesome. Okay, well, and I'd like to ask both of you, and Evan, we'll start with you. Could you guys tell us how you got involved in Leadership Edge mentoring and about your experiences serving as a mentor?
Sure. So I was originally introduced to LEI as an undergrad at Harvard by a friend of mine who was being mentored by a Harvard Business School student. And that's where I met John, and we remained in touch in the following years. My formal involvement didn't really start till I moved to San Francisco in 2013. We had a lot of LEI alums that had located in the Bay Area, and so really there was a group that prayed about launching LEI mentoring not only on Stanford's campus, but as well as the city broadly, and exploring what that would look like. So that's really when I started serving as a volunteer mentor. In terms of the experience, I'd always been attracted to LEI's approach, especially the high commitment aspect to mentoring, just commitment from a time, breadth, and depth point of view. So sometimes that, even today, can be challenging to maintain now that I'm mentoring. We're all, you know, very busy people with endless other things competing for our time and resources. But I think, like, being out in San Francisco, it can be really tempting to, like, question, like, wow, like, I'm mentoring in one person, I'm making an impact in one person's life, and, you know, most of the companies out here and products are around impacting the whole world. But really just reflecting on the investments that my various spiritual mentors have made in me personally, and how that's rippled through all of my relationships. And now that I'm a mentor, I can really, like, I really do believe in this authentic one-on-one approach that LEI has, and just see that journeying with someone so essential. And it's really a blessing not only to the mentor and mentee, but really everyone else in their life, which can add up to quite a few people.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing. Josh, what about you?
Yeah, no. So my story with LEI actually goes back to 2017. So not quite as long back as Evan, but I got introduced to LEI and this guy named John Hawkins through a friend of mine here in San Francisco. He's been a part of LEI for a number of years, and you know, LEI hosts a West Coast gathering, a men's gathering, and I got invited. I knew nothing about what Leadership Edge was all about. I had no idea who this guy John Hawkins was, but I'm like, sounds like a nice weekend. And ended up going to the gathering and got introduced to John and got introduced to Leadership Edge. And kind of coincidentally, right around that, you know, maybe it was even just like a month or two after that gathering, you know, John and Janet were hosting a mentor training session, and I'm like, oh, that could be interesting. I'd check that out. And I went through the training and thought, wow, there's actually something here. And it was about maybe a month or so after I went through the training that I just kind of dove straight into a mentoring relationship. Wow. and from there got into another mentoring relationship with another guy in my church, and had been, you know, actively mentoring for the past few years. And so it's just been a blessing. I mean, just getting to know what Leadership Edge stands for, getting to know John and Janet, and it's just been a true blessing for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Evan, I remember I was out in the Bay Area a month or so ago, and I was with you at this, I think, taco stand or something in San Francisco, and we were talking about mentoring. And Evan, you said something that has really struck me. You said that you have come to find serving as a mentor to be like a spiritual discipline that really kind of leads to healthiness in your own walk with God. And later that day, Josh, I was with you and I said, man, Evan said this. I thought that was amazing. And Josh, you said, yeah, I think the same. I found mentoring to play that kind of role for me. So I just wanted to quickly, before we get into the topic, have each of you just comment, like, how is it that you see mentoring, serving as a mentor, being like a needed spiritual discipline in your own walk with God? And Evan, since you're the one who first said it, we'll go to you and just get a thought from you on that.
Yeah, I think for me, I just love that at least once a week, I've got a mentoring meeting on my calendar, which I have to prepare and pray over. So unless I've got a serious conflict and need to reschedule, you know, I really can't otherwise be lazy or selfish or time greedy and just not do it, which I admit sometimes describes my failures with some of the solitary spiritual disciplines. So I think just knowing once a week I'll be focused on someone else, practicing just listening and empathy, reading and wrestling with scripture, praying with someone, responding to the Lord if I feel an urge to share something from my experience that'll challenge or encourage the mentee. Those are all great things. And just lastly, I think there's an intrinsic accountability baked into the mentoring relationship. So, for example, if I'm encouraging my mentee to trust the Lord in an area of his life where he's struggling, it really makes me take a hard look in the mirror at my own life. You know, am I trusting the Lord in the hard areas of my life right now? You know, did what I just say, was I being a hypocrite? And if so, I need to repent of that and pray for the Lord for his grace as I seek to trust him myself. And so just that regular self-reflection is really healthy for me. And I found that the mentoring rhythm just to be a very nice discipline to have. And it's a rhythm I hope to be a natural part of my life forever, to be honest. And just this idea that as I'm pouring, as I'm being poured into by my mentors, and the Holy Spirit obviously is the master mentor, I in turn am then pouring right back into those that are spiritually younger.
So that's cool. And Josh, what would you add in terms of your experience?
Yeah, to be honest, I wouldn't add much. I mean, I think Evan captured it really nicely there. You know, at the end of the day, I feel that, you know, a lot of times when we think of a mentor-mentee relationship, that a lot of times people think that that's a one-way communication channel, you know, where it's just the mentor giving something to the mentee and it's just that one direction. But I've really found that it's truly two-way. Like there's been conversations I've had with mentees where I probably walk out of the back end having grown and learned something about myself more than the mentee could probably say about themselves. And I find that when you authentically engage in these conversations, and it, to Evan's point, like it's hard to not have that self-reflection and to try to answer the questions that I'm posing. And I think what I'm calling a mentee to a life of a to live this kind of vision-focused life, it's kind of hard for me not to really do the same. And so for me, I've just found over these past few years, spiritually, I've grown. I've learned a lot from my mentees. There's probably times where they don't actually even realize this, but they're actually mentoring me. And so it's just been a beautiful relationship.
Yeah, that's neat. I like how you described like the impact going both ways. That's neat how God does that. Okay, so in Leadership Edge mentor training, the mentors are taught that the most important question related to mentoring effectiveness is, is God honoring change occurring? So how do you guys gather the data in a mentoring relationship to help you to answer that question? Josh, would you start us off?
Yeah, sure. I mean, as I think about this question, you know, I don't know if there's an actual, you know, checklist per se that I've focused on. I think a lot of this data just happens, or you gather this data somewhat naturally, you know, and I think it falls out of just the discussions that we have. And the more I would spend time with my mentees, and it's kind of funny, like the two guys that I've really kind of mentored the most over the past 3 years, I didn't know them before we started our relationship. I mean, it was literally, you know, starting from ground zero of getting to know each other's personalities, styles, dreams, visions, all that kind of stuff. But as I get to know them, and as we have these conversations, you start to pick up on where are they spending their time, where are they spending their resources, their efforts, where are they focused in life, and as we progress through the relationship, I think those are the data points that start to really answer some of those questions. And so sometimes, as you know, as I was working through with these young men, you know, it's sometimes more of just what my gut is telling me in terms of some of those data points and kind of gathering. Versus some kind of like, you know, prescribed checklist.
Yeah, that makes sense. Evan, has that been your experience as well, or what has it been like for you?
I promise Josh and I didn't share notes beforehand, so it must be true because I think we have some similar responses. Yeah, for me, I think two telltales really stand out. It's you know, kind of what are the thoughts or emotions that are most occupying the mentee's inner interior life, and then really what are the actions or behaviors that most occupy their exterior life. And I think, like Josh said, if through observation and careful listening and asking really pointed questions, if I can get a sense of those things and how they're changing over time, it really helps tip me off of whether God-honoring change is occurring. And I think, like, usually for mentees, like, they're understandably going to talk about the things that are most on their mind, what excites them, what brings them joy, what bothers them, things they don't have peace about. And then from an exterior point of view, you know, usually how the mentee talks about their work or their coworker relationships, career ambitions, how they spend their time, whether they're spending time with the Lord. I think really a person's actions in the world and how they allocate their time really do speak louder than words. So, yeah, I think as Josh said, like at the beginning of the mentoring relationship, you'll get a baseline for those things. Uh-huh. And then really to the degree you see a shift in the winds and in either of them, you really get a sense of the degree to which the Lord's really working. And I love whenever a mentee tells me, like, hey, I was like at work dealing with that person again and was reminded about what we discussed. Or, you know, hey, after we talked, I decided to, you know, reach out to this or that person in my community. So things like that where the mentee is speaking back to you about things that you've talked about. Those are great signs.
Yeah. No, those are all really good insights. So, like, what I'm hearing from both of you is that a lot of it is just as you come to know the person, then you gather that data just kind of naturally. In the show notes, we are also going to be including some evaluative questions to help as well. And maybe this would be, I'm not sure, maybe this would especially be helpful for a newer mentor who's kind of learning how to evaluate some of those things or at any point. But I'm going to go ahead and read off these questions. And then I'd like to ask you if there's like one that has been particularly helpful for you. So listeners, again, we will be including these in the show notes where you can kind of see them, but I'll read them out now. One is the mentee still making the relationship a priority? And is there still a place for me to serve in this mentee's life? B, am I growing to understand the mentee? Is effective two-way communication occurring between us that facilitates understanding and growth? Are the developmental needs of the mentee being met? What is the mentee putting into action as a result of our time together? And in what ways does the mentee's life exemplify the LEI personal vision statement? So, Evan, can you start us off? Is there one of these that you found to be important in evaluating effectiveness and why?
Yeah, I think the last two really stand out to me. I think observing what the mentee is putting into action is essential. And I want to clarify, like, putting into action doesn't necessarily mean some grand external behavior. Like, it can really just be the mentee is allocating more time in their life to spend with the Lord and in reflection and really cultivating a healthy inner life. And, you know, Paul in Romans speaks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I think many times that inner work can really lead to then the external actions that you might observe. And I think the LEI personal vision statement nicely encapsulates both of those aspects. It involves really reflecting on God's grace and his purposes and glory. And really that is what empowers then the mentee to step forward externally. So I really love those last two.
Yeah. And Josh, what about you?
Yeah, you know, it's funny when you rattled off those questions, Laura. I mean, the easy answer is to say all the above, but I won't cheat and go with that answer. But I truly believe that each of these questions do kind of build off of each other, and they are kind of related. And intertwined. And so I think these are really good questions. I've looked at these questions, you know, over the course of my mentoring relationships, and they're questions I just try to keep in the back of my head. To be a little bit more specific, though, I do think the third question, like, you know, is effective two-way communication occurring between the both of us? I think that's important. And maybe it goes back to what I was saying earlier about this kind of one-way versus two-way kind of streak within the relationship, but part of this is like, what does that two-way conversation look like? Like, what are they asking me? How am I engaging with them? How are they responding? and then coming back to the evidence, and then that's kind of where, you know, Evan's response kind of picks up. But I feel like it kind of starts with just what do our conversations look like? What are we talking about? What are they focused on? What are they trying to grow in themselves? And I would probably kind of add the word authentic in there. Like, is it authentic two-way mm-hmm. communication? You know, because a lot of times, you know, people can have conversations where it's just, you know, you can kind of tell that they're just maybe saying things that but they feel like is what wants to be heard. But is it really kind of authentic?
No, that's great. So you guys have given some great thoughts about like how to discern if a mentoring relationship is effective. Now I'd like to hear from you how you determine when to end a mentoring relationship. So, Josh, let's start with you again on this one. What have you learned about this, and are there any quick stories that you could tell?
Yeah, I think one learning that I've had in some of my past mentoring relationships is the importance to really start at the front end of the relationship with this idea that the formal aspect of the mentoring relationship will come to an end. And I think it's really important to be explicit, because I've learned, not necessarily the hard way, but I've learned that if you're not that explicit on the front end, it gets a little bit more gray and nebulous on the back end when you do try to then have some more of those conversations. And so that is one thing that I've learned, just the importance of having that being kind of explicitly stated, and having kind of where are those exit ramps and how do you define them and design them and kind of check in as to the best way and the best time to do that. So I would say that's definitely one thing I've learned, and I just think it's really important to lay that out.
Awesome. Great. Thanks. Evan, what about you?
Yeah, 100% agree with everything Josh mentioned around the beginning of the relationship, and setting those expectations actually really helps a lot when then ending a relationship. I try to set with a mentee in our first couple meetings like a default of, you know, hey, the formal part of this relationship will have a certain season, and maybe that's only 4 months or maybe it's 2 years. And the default is that we're going to be committed though through that period. Mm-hmm. And if we do choose to continue, like, that's the choice. So the choice isn't about, hey, should we end the relationship? But it's more about, like, should we continue? And then that I've found then requires that each person kind of supplies reasons for doing so. And I've found that helps keep a clearly defined vision at the heart of the relationship. And one of my mentees, we did decide to end the more formal weekly meetings that we had going to meet every 3 weeks instead, just to keep the relationship going. And even with that, I told him, sure, let's do that, but it's important we define what the vision is going to be for our continued meeting. Because, you know, there's many other valuable ways each of us could be spending our time if we lack a mentoring vision. So,
yeah, those are all great. Thanks, guys. So, Evan, do you have any, I mean, I feel like you've already provided a little bit of this, but any additional suggestions on ending a mentoring relationship in a way that preserves a friendship long term?
Yeah, I guess the last thing I'd say is, you know, presumably it's a mutual decision. But if the mentee wants to continue and the mentor does not, for example, I think it's important for the mentor to give direct feedback to the mentee why. And it could be that perhaps you don't sense them valuing the relationship, or conversely, on the positive side, perhaps you feel like you've given them all that the Lord's kind of called you to give, or maybe it's time for the mentee to become a mentor to someone else. So hopefully by the end of the relationship, the mentee trusts you enough to know that you're acting towards the best interests of them and the relationship. And then in terms of the friendship piece, I would just say, you know, just tell the person you want to remain long-term friends if that's truly what you desire. And I think simple communication goes a long way. And honesty is not awkward. It's being kind. So
yeah, that's great. Josh, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would just add, you know, I it's kind of funny when I've ended a couple of the, you know, what I would characterize as the formal, you know, mentoring relationship period, I kind of joke that, you know, just because we're ending this relationship, they're not getting rid of me. and that they're actually stuck with me for the rest of their life. But kind of in a very positive yeah. way, in that the mentoring relationship formed a foundation, and you know, the two guys that I mentored straight out of the gates after being trained by John and Janet, like, these have, I mentioned, I didn't know these guys before mm-hmm. I started mentoring them, and now they are very, very dear friends. I mean, I had a nice conversation last night with one of them just to catch up. He just had a baby recently, and like, they are going to be friends of mine for life. And so I think making it very clear that just because we're ending this more kind of formal structured relationship mm-hmm. doesn't actually mean our relationship yeah. is ending, and that I am always going to be there. If they want to call me and dive right back into some topics, like, I'm available, and they know how to get yeah. a hold of me.
Yeah, that's neat. Thanks, both of you guys. I feel like you gave so many, like, practical tips, and yeah, just also, I think hearing your perspectives on what it's been like for you is really valuable. So thanks so much for making time to do this today. Okay, I think my takeaways were just thinking through, like, even just a brief intentional communication at the outset of the mentoring relationship, both in, like, setting the expectation that eventually mm-hmm. this relationship is going to end, and also making it something where maybe semester by semester or at the end of the year, the question would be not, like, should we stop, but should we continue, and needing to come up with reasons why. That makes a lot of sense to me, and I thought mm-hmm. that was really helpful for thinking through, just how to have the relationship and end in a way that's not hurtful, I guess. So, Dad, those were my thoughts. Can yeah. you wrap us up, or was there anything else that you wanted to say?
Well, no, my takeaways, when Josh said, you're not going to get rid of me, something like that, I loved that and thought it was wonderful that mentoring kind of comes with a lifelong friendship offer. And then when Evan said, that truth isn't awkward, it's love, I'm like, I need to remember that a lot, because a lot of times I have such a fear around conflict that I struggle to be truthful sometimes, and appreciate Evan's reminder that it's not awkward, it's love. But we appreciate all of the listeners that are listening to this today, or whatever day you're listening to it. We always love to have you as a part of this. I want to remind you that with Leadership Edge, we do mentoring around the personal vision statement, which is by God's grace to step forward as God's man or woman in our spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory. And from the discussion today, you may be interested in how could you be trained to be a Leadership Edge mentor. And we encourage you to go to our website, www.lead-edge.com, and go up to the mentoring tab, and you'll see a place where you can find out when the next mentor training is going to be, and also where you can sign up, and we'll notify you as to when it's the sign up starts for it. So that's how you can find out more about that. Josh and Evan, we love you guys dearly, and so glad for you to be a part with us today, and keep up the great work in San Francisco. And Laura, with that, I'll turn it over to you to wrap up.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, and thanks, Dad, and thanks for joining us, listeners.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.